Hey, welcome everyone. Brighter days are upon us. It is We Watch Stuff, number 78. Let freedom ring. I don't know about you, but I feel great today. So this is going to be a wonderful show. And joining me to help in the celebratory mood of everybody in this country today is my good friend Shahid. What's going on, man?
Hello.
Now, we can't have a show start off like that. You got to show some, you know, gumption.
Hello, everybody. Hope you guys are enjoying your day.
So, yeah. So, how about that, huh? We don't have to dwell too much on it since we talked off air, but does this qualify as what a time to be alive?
I guess it depends on your point of view. I'll let you go first, and then I'll say whatever I have to say.
Nah, it's obviously how late were you up last night, by the way?
I think I was up until maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Okay, so about the same time as me. Oh no, wait, that'd be two here. Yeah, so 12:30. I finally said to hell with it and went to bed about 1:30 Eastern, and Trump was still 16 electoral votes down. And it, you know, which I'll get into in a second, but with, like, some states not reporting, but they have, like, the projections, but they only had, like, 20% of the vote reporting. I don't understand how that works, so hopefully you'll be able to. But then all I really cared about was the governor's race here. And they voted him out, so, but of course he's going to contest it, so. Or wait for some not super delegate, that's then the primaries. Some other thing, I don't know. Basically, there's a way for him to still win, because, you know, elections can't be simple anymore. But anyways, the reason I said what a time to be alive is, what a weird, I'm going to call it weird, because even though, you know, goofingly said, yeah, Trump's going to win, Donald Trump's going to be the next president in January. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. And I know, like, you know, I have no love loss for Hillary Clinton, but yeah, like, no one saw this coming, which I guess everyone should have saw this coming, because whenever somebody expects a landmark victory, landslide victory, it never works out. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I was talking to some of the guys at the box earlier, and we were all just sitting there saying, it doesn't seem real, and I don't think it's actually going to seem real until January, when they do the swearing in, and you look and just go, hey, why is he up there? Like, okay, it's all right, let's pull the curtain back a little bit. This is wrong guys there. So, and I know you have a totally, different view, but a much bleaker picture of this than I do. So, I'll tap out because I'm gonna drink some water. I'll let you give your side of it.
I was shocked that he won, but I wasn't too surprised because, I mean, once you saw the voting breakdown, it was real simple. White people wanted to change, and they didn't care how they got it. Like, Vince McMahon could have ran for president, and he would have got elected. Like, it's a lot of people saying, I mean, it's a lot of factors people bringing in. You know, the Democratic Party was arrogant. Hillary Clinton didn't, you know, took things for granted. A lot of people didn't have, you know, they took the voting process for granted. Less people voted. They thought it was a joke. The bottom line is there was a percentage, like not the whole, not half, because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but there's a large percentage of mostly white people who wanted Donald Trump to be president, and they didn't care. And basically they was like, they wanted a change, they were sick of how things were going, and they didn't care about all the other stuff. So it's like, you know, I'm not like that person, so he can be that person and be fine because he's different. Good for them. If they feel that way, that's fine. they want to shoot themselves in the foot, if they were as tired as anything, that's fine. But I haven't met one person in person that has actively said they were voting for Donald Trump. I haven't met one person who could explain to me that they feel comfortable for voting for Donald Trump, because you're basically saying either you were so tired of how things were, you wanted to change, and you didn't care who it affected. You're a racist or a bigot or a sexist, or you may not be directly, but you don't care for picking one because it doesn't affect you. Period. Because I've heard a lot of people saying it's not going to be that bad. It's not that much stuff's going to change. You know, Hillary was just as bad and everything. And like I told you the story and I'll tell online, my sister went to vote yesterday. She lives in North Carolina. She went voting early. Some guy with a Trump Pence banner got up in her face and told her to take that blanket off her head and go back to her country so America can be great again. Why he decided to do that? Why did he feel like it was comfortable or it was the right thing to just approach some strange person that he didn't know, that wasn't doing anything but voting, and just did that? It's because people have told him that people that look like my sister are the enemy, and people that look like me are the enemy, and people that are Mexican and Muslims and gays and Jews and anything like them are the reason why they're suffering and taking their jobs. And I've heard people say, oh, it wasn't a race thing, it was a class thing, and yada yada yada, even though the majority of people who make less than $50,000 voted for Hillary Clinton more than they voted for Donald Trump. Like, no, this wasn't a class thing. I mean, it sounds real nice and everything like that. Like, those states that used to be blue and turned red, which were quite a few, because there was a lot of angry people. Like, it's people have this assumption that, and we've joked about it on this show, me and Jeremy, a lot of times, like, you know, people think you have to be burning crosses and riding a white horse to be like a racist. They think, when they think of racism, they think of like Civil War villains, or they think of people like, you know, in the 60s, like they were sicking dogs on black people for voting. Like, no, racism comes in shades and racism comes in levels. And it's plenty of people who would rather have, they want to be in charge again. They miss the America that made them number one to extend to everything else. And they didn't give a damn who it affected. And I've had people try to mansplain to me saying how you don't have anything to worry about, you don't got it that bad, it's going to be fine. And I'm like, it's not just about what, even if you don't think, if you assume everything that Donald Trump says was just nonsense to appease a crowd, which is fine. Maybe it was, maybe not. And even if you ignore his actions throughout his life that has shown that he has no respect for women and is a racist and a bigot and doesn't care about anybody but himself, you want to sweep that away too, that's fine. There's nothing showing that he's qualified to do the job. Mm-hmm. His vice president is actively worse, is walking around like a radical Christian terrorist that basically wants to, if he had his way, electric shock the gay out of people and control women's bodies.
Okay, hang on. I'm sorry to cut you off. What are you talking about? I honestly don't know anything about the electric shock thing, because that's absurd.
I would say, quick aside, but if you have time, people listen to this, Google Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a madman. Like, if you read the things how he feels about women and pro-life and pro-choice and lesbian and gays and how to handle that, yeah. You should hope Donald Trump has his health. You should hope that he is president and that he actually cares about the job and he just doesn't delegate to Mike Pence. And think about that for a second, that all the things I said about Donald Trump, I'd rather have him be the president than his vice president.
Okay, I'm on Google now, so I'm trying to, the electroshock thing is what got me.
This is a man who used the example of Mulan to say that's the reason why women shouldn't be in the military.
I haven't seen Mulan in forever. What specifically was the problem with Mulan? The cartoon?
The movie, yes.
The Disney cartoon. Okay.
Yes. the plot where she had to dress up as a man to serve in the army because women couldn't serve, and she wanted to defend the country.
That's right.
Okay, and he's saying that's the reason to show that women have no place in the military. And this is your man that is, and he said that with a straight face. No. He said he wouldn't worry about finding a vaccine for HIV because HIV is just a gay disease. And as long as you have a stable heterosexual relationship, you will be fine. It's, these are the things that affect, like, it's a two-part thing. Like, one, the people that were elected were insane or incompetent. And two, the vibe around these people are emboldening a lot of people. Like, people think it's cool now. Like, the KKK is riding around in public. Like, it's cool to be in the KKK again. It's cool to ride around in sunflowers. Like, I don't have to hide anymore. Like, it's not a surprise to us. I'm hearing these people say, oh, I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know it was that device. I'm like, you didn't have any friends that didn't look like you? Or you just thought they were making it up? Like, we've been telling you this for a long time. People assume we elected Barack Obama and, you know, it's over. Like, we straight now because Scandal gets good ratings and we had a black president twice. Like, that's not how it works. And now everyone's seeing what people have been saying for the longest, and you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with the fact, like, you know, I was telling you, like, it's not about, it's this joke that, you know, liberals are all weak-minded and they want their safe places. Why? When this election basically showed that a large group of people were mad that they weren't number one anymore and got their feelings hurt, and that Hillary said some bad things about them, so they were just going to elect whoever they want to get their spot back. And it had nothing to do with logic. It had nothing to do with sense, because I'm going to be perfectly honest. Me personally, Trump's policies and Pence policies probably won't either affect me that much or will leave more money in my pocket. I make enough money where those taxes won't be an issue. I might end up getting a tax break. My health care is fine. I don't have to worry about women's rights or anything like that. So I'm straight. The atmosphere that they have developed, that they have emboldened and encouraged, is the thing I worry about, where people think it's cool to be a bigot. It's cool to, like, you know, grab a Muslim woman by her, you know, by her headrest and try to choke her with it, or try to set her on fire because she's going to, you know, indoctrinate people or burn down a mosque. And that's all cool because the president says so. Like, even if he can't, even like the whole, he's not going to deport a whole religion. He's not going to build a damn wall to get rid of, you know, Latin people. And trust me, a lot of those red states will not be able to thrive without cheap immigrant labor, for all the talk they had. And we talked about them that much shit. So a lot of that stuff is just nonsense. But it's enough people who feel like it's good to hate these people, and I'm allowed to hate these people because the president says so. And they have no compunction about going out and doing stupid stuff. And that's the thing where a lot of people are worried about, where they worry, you know, if I have a young daughter or a wife or a sister, if she goes out, is she going to come home safely? And that's the stuff. Like, forget that, oh, he hurt my feelings. Bullets hurt your feelings too. You know, getting punched in the mouth hurts your feelings a lot more than somebody saying you're ugly. You know, being treated like you're subhuman is the issue. And I don't want to hear this whole both sides, and people may argue about, you know, lesser two evils, but they're both evil. I'm like, well, now you're getting the greater of two evils. And what do you think, like, you now you have what you want, and I'm just going to watch, and I'm going to finish my little rant and say, I have a large-ass petty bone in my body. And I'm going in to enjoy all these people that, like, be careful what you wish for. These people are going to suffer. And they're going to suffer hard. And they're going to wake up one day and realize they got sold a false bag of goods. And they're going to wonder what the hell went wrong. And they won't have anybody to blame. They won't be able to blame Obama anymore because he's going to be gone. If you're going to have a Republican president, a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, and soon a Republican Supreme Court, like, you have all the power in the world. So whatever actions you have, this is going to be on you. Like, don't come crying one say when your grandmom doesn't have health care anymore and she got to decide between food and medicine, because I lived through that when Bush implemented his health care plan. Like, I don't want to hear that, oh, what we going to do? They dropped me off my insurance and I can't afford it anymore. don't come to me when you can't get, you got to drive two states to get an abortion because you knocked up a 16-year-old because they don't teach sex education and you got to bust out the hanger. I don't want to hear any, like, I don't want to hear any of that. When, you know, you don't get your Trump prize and your taxes don't magically regain and that Ford company doesn't come back because Trump said it would and those jobs aren't there and you're suffering on welfare like the majority of those states do, I don't want to hear any complaints. I don't want to hear that it's black people's fault. I don't want to hear that it's Mexicans' fault. I don't want to hear anything about the evil Jews or none of that. I want you to suffer. And I want you to know how it is, and I want you to think about it. Like, you brought this on yourself because you wanted to be number one so much. Like, you're not, you know, the first seat in the boat, so you were at to burn down the whole boat. Be on that boat. Go down with the ship. Let me know how that is. And I'm just going to watch there, and I'm going to laugh, and I'm going to enjoy every goddamn second of it. That's all right. All I have to say.
Well, you said something in there, and I'm just going to say it like this because I think you'll know where I'm coming from. Isn't it black people's fault? Because, and I don't have numbers in front of me, that's why I'm asking. What was the black voter turnout in this one?
Voter turnout was less, but the majority of the black voters voted for Hillary Clinton.
But like, that's what I'm getting at. So where's the rest? Like, if
part of it came. I'm saying
you've clearly got a passion here, okay? And it doesn't seem that passion carried through in the entire black community then.
No, I'm going to tell you
if the voting went down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, and I'm saying, like, it's the black people's fault, but you know what I'm getting at. So
you live in North Carolina. You heard about people talking about voting suppression. They talk about, and people brag about how this is a tool, and they're saying, oh, you know, black people coming out and voting less. Well, if you make it harder for them to vote, then I guess they would vote less.
See, I actually don't understand that because we walked right in. They didn't ask for an ID. They didn't ask for – I even brought my voter card. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what's your name? I gave my name. They looked it up. There it is. They asked me for my address. I walked over, gave it to them, and they just walked me over.
That's nice.
I mean, so I don't get – like, I hear about this voter suppression stuff, and they weren't even I would figure you would check people's IDs when you walk in because anybody could just walk in then.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. I mean, you'd think, yeah. And uh-huh. If more word gets out like that, then I guess if you really want to rig something, you could. But
I will tell you this. When I voted in Texas, they ask for your ID. Hmm. They have your name in a book. They check off with your name and ID. So even – you have to vote in whatever district that you're registered in. Not the district, even if you don't necessarily live in that district anymore. I moved. They didn't update my district, so I had to, you know, fill out a form to show that I live at this current address, go to the district I used to be voted in. They've had my name in the book. They matched with my ID. They had me sign underneath my name. They wrote the number in that I signed. They marked off that I signed, and then I was able to vote. Their states, like, it had people say, well, how come black people don't vote as much? Well, a lot of those states, Republican governors and Republican congressmen changed, like, they want to change the hours, close the voting places. Like, they made it actively difficult for people to vote. And this is shit that was, like, I wake up sometimes, like, why is it the 1960s again? We should all be moving forward. Like, why are we doing stuff that we used to see in movies with Danny Glover starring in? And people actually and the Supreme Court saying, hey, that's fine. And it's like, it's not, you don't even have to hide it anymore. This used to be stuff where if this was like a Lifetime movie, you see somebody doing it in a dark corner and you find out like the 2/3 part of the movie. Now people are bragging about it. Like, it's sanctioned and certified, saying it's nothing wrong. You can go ahead and do this. Deal with it. And everyone's saying, oh, whoa, it's no big deal. If you can get Jordans, you can vote like this. Like, because it doesn't affect them. And it doesn't, like, the whole fact that somebody can actively say, I can go out and make it difficult to impossible for a segment of people to vote, and no one says it's a problem, is a problem. Like, and for all the people say, voting doesn't matter. Like, if voting didn't matter, people wouldn't stop groups of people from wanting to vote. Voting matters. So it's for your ass, like, whose fault is it? It's white people's fault. It's white men and white women. And people don't want to, you know, they don't want to admit it, and they don't want to say it, because it sounds like they say it is like, oh, well, you know, whatever. I'm like, they voted. You can dance around anywhere you else. Like, and it wasn't just poor white people, and they just can't say it was just white trash or uneducated white people. Like, no. Once you get above 50 grand household and up, it's Trump's votes. People who had high school education and some college, they voted for Trump. It wasn't just people from the boom. Like, a lot of people from the rural places voted for Trump. It wasn't just them. And it wasn't just people making chump change. It was plenty of people with money, both middle class and rich, both men and women that were white, that voted for Donald Trump.
But again, you're still skipping over what I asked, though. Because the black vote still didn't turn out the way it used to. And with how close some of these races came down to, wouldn't that have made a difference? And
it wouldn't have made enough to make a difference. Like, it's no state where, say, if more black people would have came out, Hillary Clinton would have won. One, yes, there were people that, I mean, it's less inclined to vote for Hillary Clinton because it was.
She's a piece of shit, just like Donald Trump is.
That's where the break come in, where they say, yeah, oh, she's bad just like Donald Trump. No. She is not bad like Donald Trump is bad. Because guess what? Getting stabbed in the heart is not the same as your entire family being in a house and the house burns to the ground. They're both bad. They ain't the same. But it's this whole thing is like, they're both bad people. They're not equally bad. But people was like, well, she's bad, I'll vote for him.
The worst part about Trump is the fact that you brought it up earlier. He's not qualified. He has no business. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's never been in the political game, which obviously is appealing. At the same time, that also means he doesn't know how to do this. People continually said, you know, we want someone from the outside. We want an outsider in there. And that's, you know, that's how he got framed after a while. Okay, cool. Well, an outsider that had some sort of experience in it would be preferable. But we're not going to, obviously we didn't get that. But then you have Hillary Clinton on the other side, who's been around forever, and scandals, you know, indictments, everything keep piling up on her. And
I gotta laugh.
Hey, sorry, truth's the truth.
I mean, I'm not saying
look at everything like, that okay, she's messed up.
Wait,
where you have
a solid record
of how poor she is.
I gotta jump in.
He doesn't have experience.
Hold on. Wait. So, it's not just he doesn't have experience. Like, people talk about Hillary. No, it's not just that. People talk about Hillary Clinton, like Hillary Clinton has scandal. Donald Trump doesn't. Like, this whole, he sexually assaulted people. He discriminated against black people when they tried to go in his apartments. He didn't pay taxes.
We talked about the taxes thing, and he didn't do anything illegal. You know, that's part of the system.
Has there ever been a president that didn't release their tax returns?
Not that I know of, no.
None. But, the answer is none.
Hey,
like,
but if it's not, but if yeah, you don't but, have to, why would you? Again, it's not illegal
whole,
to do that.
Wait,
so
he's done illegal things. He's done immoral things. It's not like Donald Trump is just this guy, this maverick that came out of nowhere, and he's just
I understand that. Yeah.
So, and when people talk about Hillary Clinton scandals, and they say, "Oh, well, I know Donald Trump, you know, sexually assaulted people, been accused of rape and adultery and fraud and failed businesses and just a dirtball," but yeah, I'm just going to ignore all that because look what Hillary Clinton and her husband did. It's like, come on now. Like,
well,
really?
You can't just dismiss all the garbage Hillary Clinton's done, too, though.
But when I've asked people why they didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, I'd say, it's reason not to vote for her. But when I ask them a reason, you know what they say? Well, I don't trust her. I'm like, well, why? Because of emails. Like, that's it? Like, I mean, it's reason to say, like, if you don't like her foreign policy because you think she want to bomb the hell out the Middle East, that's a good reason.
Sure, fuck Libya up. So,
if you think she's, but guess what? Why would anyone? And I always come to this: if it comes to if it's a personal thing, then that's fine. Even though that shouldn't be the reason to do it if you feel like they're qualified. But if it's a policy thing, like if you voted for Barack Obama and agreed with his policy, but you not vote for Hillary Clinton, then it's not a policy thing. It's you just don't like her. And for all the faults that Hillary Clinton has, Donald Trump has those same faults. Like, people bring up that Hillary Clinton will, you know, bomb countries in the Middle East without a second war. You think Donald Trump wouldn't? He's actively talking about, why can't we just end this? We're using nuclear weapons. Like, what's this idea where he's going to be the voice of reason? Like, all the issues, you know, Hillary Clinton is deep in with the banks and she's corporate. Donald Trump's a businessman. You think he, yeah, he's deep with the banks. Give me a loan so I don't have to file bankruptcy for the third time. Like, all the flaws that Hillary Clinton has, Donald Trump would have those same flaws. In addition to the fact that he has a whole other myriad of flaws, and the fact that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and he's old.
Like, people, well, she's, forget, a, she's no spring chicken either, though.
But he's
so
older,
it's not, the age, like, thing doesn't really matter.
Well, if you're starting off, if you're the oldest president in history starting off, the age thing matters.
Yeah, well, somebody told me they were like, you know, how many sitting presidents have died in during their time in office? Do you know how many it is?
I know FDR did. I guess, are we counting the ones that got shot?
Yes, yeah.
Then Abraham Lincoln.
JFK.
It was another one in the late 19th century,
keep
early
going.
20th.
There's eight.
Yeah, like, and you know, people like, dying of bathtubs and stuff. Like we got to remember, the younger, like, back in the day, people had short lifespans, and then it was easy to knock off presidents. But
yeah, didn't one die because of a duel?
I know one got shot. I don't remember. Maybe, like I said, that's probably
shot
the
during the duel, because
yeah, and died later. Like, you know, like Theodore Roosevelt has been shot. Like, we've had plenty of presidents who have died later from getting shot. We have presidents who died from getting shot. Like, yeah, being president used to be a violent job. Like, you know, it had a short lifespan, so to speak. But yeah, it goes to the fact, and to, like I said, to wrap what I say, there's a lot of arrogance that were brought into this, said you can bring in anybody. But I do laugh when people say, you know, well, if Bernie Sanders would have got there, we wouldn't have had this problem. I'm like, one, and I'll just say two things. One, that's like saying, well, if the Memphis Grizzlies would have got to the NBA Finals, they could have beat the Cleveland Cavaliers because maybe they were more physical than Golden State. Like, that's easy to say, but they didn't get there. Two, do we actively think, like, in this country and the climate now, that we're going to elect an old socialist Jew? Do people remember, like, when Bernstein was running and they were saying he just want to give everybody free stuff? Like, that's all he wants to do. He wants to make everything free and tax the rich people, and he out of touch. Can you imagine how that would have played? Like, people just assuming, like, it just would have slid on through. All Donald Trump would have been is like, this guy is out of touch. His part, he's not a real Democrat. He just climbed on there because he didn't want to be independent. And all he wants to do is just tax rich people and give everything to poor people. He wants to make this free. He wants to make that free. You think these angry white men living in these red states wants to hear that? He want to make college free. He wants to make this free. He wants to help black people. He wants to help gays. He's like, they're going to take money out my – it would have been translated to, they trying to take money out my pocket. Hell no. Like, that's not happening right now. So I know it sounds nice, and people bring up the polls. I would think at this point, trusting polls with this presidential race was a fool's errand.
So where do we go? I mean, you know, obviously, because we were joking at the box, just like, you know, all right, so if Trump, say something happens, you know, then you got Pence, and it's like, oh, all right. Well, who's after Pence? Then it's the Speaker of the House, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I went on mute. Sorry. Who's the Speaker of the House right now? Is that Paul Ryan?
Yeah, that he probably will have a new job. It'll probably be somebody new because Paul Ryan gonna get the damn boot. So,
well, wait, why would he? Oh, yeah. He didn't support him.
Because he didn't support him, and Trump's a spiteful man, and all these, like, he's gonna be the guy, like, yeah, I kept a long list of all these people who talked all this trash, and I'm here to collect receipts. And there's people around him who's already said that. Like, that's the type of guy you elect the president, a spiteful, petty, insecure, unqualified, old ass, out of shape man. What's gonna happen? If you depend on what state you live, you're gonna be screwed. Is what's gonna happen, and depending on how much money you make. and you're going to feel it. Like, just think about how you felt when Bush was president, and then add a lot more racism, and there you go.
I don't know, I'm torn to keep this going, because I think it's been actually much more pleasant than expected. Not pleasant, I don't know, whatever. I'm, you know, after the gym crash, but where do you see it going, though? Because I've already started seeing, you know, you saw the concession speeches. You've already seen Hillary Clinton out there saying, we have to work together, we need to unify again. And then you had President Obama today saying the exact same thing. And I've got, which was a generous concession, not concession speech, excuse me, which would have made people happier, actually, Trump speech about praising Hillary Clinton and all she's done for everything. Never mind the fact that he just said in the last debate he put her in jail. Anyways, Not where do we go? How can change be affected? And I'm being dead serious, because even though we don't agree on things, okay? And I was, you know, it's I'd me stumbling trying to explain my point of view on life earlier. How do you get enough people on board? Or does it go back to what I think shows ago, where I was like, we're never going to see it. Like, we're never going to see any sort of harmony. And, like, I'm not having kids. I know, I think you said you wanted to. I don't think your children are going to see it either. So, how do you effectively move forward knowing that nothing's going to get better while we're alive? Not get to the point where we want it to. That's what I mean.
Here's what you do is you make small steps and keep them. Like, it's not a thing to black people, because we've been going through it since we got here. So it's always been a two-step forward, a one-and-a-half-step back, but you still go forward. Like, I just look at the fact where Oregon has a bisexual governor. It was I don't even remember her name. Like, it was like some of the races. Like, you know, there was the first Vietnamese member, like, congressman or senator was elected. An Indian woman senator was elected. The second black woman senator ever was elected. Like, there's people that normally would have had no chance being in. Somebody that used to be an undocumented immigrant was elected to Congress. Like, small things like that happens, and like every 2 to 4 years it's somebody new. A Somalian congresswoman, a gay one, an amputee one, somebody that's representing America. Like, people laugh and people make that jokes about we gotta check every box, but those are people too. And it changes slowly.
Well, let's not go that far with the amputees, but I'm with you. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. The guy that ran against him made those jokes, and that's why he is an ex-senator.
Did he really?
He was saying, you know, he made jokes about her being an amputee, and he made jokes about, because she said, you know, her family fought in, like, World War I, and he was like, well, I didn't know Vietnamese were over here back then. He was like, I'm only half. My father was white, and she was a veteran of the Iraq War. You're gonna assault a war veteran that lost her legs fighting? Like really? Like, why don't you just push over her wheelchair while you're at it? Like, how do you think that's gonna fly?
Man, all right, so basically, the reason I asked you, you said the bisexual governor,
mm-hmm.
and I was hoping you were gonna say a guy, because I was gonna say, oh, yuck, never mind, okay. And then that's when you – so luckily I got a joke in there with the amputee one, because that's the kind of stuff that I get, like, strange looks, because saying stuff like that to me is absolutely absurd, and that's why it's funny. Like, it's – I know, like, people – I had no idea this was the name, but, like, gallows humor. Just saying, like, rotten stuff. And – we've talked about it before off air, but I've run into it where I'll say some nasty shit because it cracks me up, because I'm like, yeah, no one can possibly think that's real. But then you run into people like, why are you saying stuff like that? I'm like, because it's funny. Like, well, no, there are people that actually believe what you just said. And it immediately blows my mind. Like, well, no, because I, for instance, I was having a conversation with somebody that you know, when I was doing my job, so I shouldn't have been having this conversation, I guess. But he showed me like some new model that's out, and she's supposed to be the next Kate Upton, some goofy name, Olte or something. I don't know if it rings a bell. Anyways,
no, it doesn't.
Yeah, oh, she's not ugly. So
okay,
yeah. Anyways, so we start talking about like, and I was like, yeah, you know, she's a little thinner than Kate Upton, blah blah blah. So you know, I don't know. And I was like, well, I mean, it always falls under the rule of, well, of course I would. So then we started getting into the fact of like, well, what kind of like, where would you draw the line and to say no, you know? So every time we would come up with something, it'd always be like, well, that's why alcohol was invented. So it gets, and it just got deeper and deeper in like absurd, mean stuff. And I slowly and it just kind of dawned on me, like, you know, somebody could read this and actually think we were serious. Because there are those people that are out there that are serious when they say, like, rude, mean things, sexist, you know, whatever, chauvinistic, whatever, to where that's their worldview. And to me, I'm laughing at the worldview by saying those sentences or phrases, whatever, having those thoughts. Well, they're having their worldview. They look at me like, yeah, you're one of us. Like, oh, my God. And I think that's where it gets confused. To bring it all around.
That, yeah. Well, because you have to realize that, you know, some people aren't joking when they say that. And that's to go back to the whole, like, when people say, oh, Donald Trump, he don't really mean it. I'm like, he may or may not mean it, but there's people who do mean it that believe that. And he's empowering them. Like, it's actively people that...
There you
like,
go. Thank you. Much better way of saying it than I just...
Yeah. Like, it's people who actually walk around who have that point of view, and now they feel as proud to go out. Like, yeah, I can't be that bad. The President of the United States is saying the same thing I'm saying. So if he's saying it and we elected him, it's cool. Let me go ahead and punch a Mexican. I'm going to send him back over the wall. Like, you saw Machete, right?
Oh, yeah. I responded to you on that one.
It's amazing. I remember seeing that and just laughing, like, how ridiculous it was, like, Robert De Niro's character. Like, this is insane. Like, he's this Texas, you know, senator, governor. He wants to build an electrified fence, you know, for Mexico for drug dealers, you know, for votes and everything like that. And, like, it's ludicrous. And I remember how it had some bite to it because all the stuff happened in Arizona.
Yes. And yeah, now that's we have the time
a,
it came out.
Yeah. And now we have a president who wants to build a damn wall to keep people out of from Mexico. Like, it's no longer a joke. It's not satire. A sizable amount of the American people voted for a man who said that, regardless of the fact that you believe. Like, I wouldn't trust this man to cut my grass. Like, seriously, like, it's no, like, I wouldn't trust him to manage a Burger King. Because I feel like he'd steal the fries and burn the burgers and assault the cashiers. Like, and he's going to be president. Like, people thought, like, you need experience to do majority. Like, I wouldn't like to wrap it up, and we're going to wrap it up. I use a WWE example. And say you have the WWE champion. And on one hand, you got Roman Reigns. And it's like, I don't like Roman Reigns. They pushed him down my throat. He's just there because he looks the part and it's better people, yada, yada, yada. Like a lot of people feel like in real life. And on the other hand, you got George Zimmerman. He's going to be our WWE champion because he's different and he can incite a reaction and he's not a Vince guy and yada, yada, yada. You hear how ridiculous that sounds?
Yeah. It's just funny hearing George Zimmerman's name again.
Yeah. Like, somebody say, like, I dislike Roman, but it's, I bet you if you ask, like, some wrestling fans, they would probably joke around and say, I dislike Roman Reigns so much, I would give George Zimmerman a chance. And then they wake up one day and see George Zimmerman on Monday Night Raw and wonder what the hell they've done. Well, that's what you've done, America. You had so much issues with Hillary Clinton, and you felt like it was such the wave, you were so tired of it, that you voted an incompetent, racist buffoon as president, who has no experience, and deal with it. I'm gonna be here to watch you deal with it. And don't whine to me like when this whole "Make America Great Again." I'm gonna love when he makes America worse again, because I guess some people miss the 2000s. They want to go back to that route, so.
I don't know. I don't think there's a way to put a bow on it. But, all right, but what we didn't, all right. We'll get to, there's really not a whole lot going on anyways. But how can we affect the change? Like, how can the like-minded people, because the results of some of these states, I know like 100,000, you know, here, there, 50,000 here, there, whatever. Some of these states were awful close. And outside of, you know, however you want to look at the way people voted, the people who are like-minded, the people who didn't vote, whether it's out of arrogance or whatever, laziness, if you want to put it that way, for the people who are like-minded that want to see actual change, that don't want to have these conversations anymore, what can be done? Because I see a lot of, and I know you said a lot of people contacted you to make sure you're okay, so I don't want to belittle that. But at the same time, that's the only action I see people do. Like Facebook and Twitter. It's always this, this, and this. It's like, well, okay, great. What are you doing to go out to enact change to, I totally lost my train of thought.
Simple.
God damn it.
You go out and you did what you did in 2008, 2012. You vote. That's how you enact change. That's in, for the Democratic Party, they need to stop being so damn arrogant and go out and vote. Not just vote for presidents, vote for everything. Like, stuff, this didn't happen overnight. Republicans didn't take over these states and change the voting rights overnight. Like, this was work. Like, remember all the jokes we used to make about the Tea Party? Oh, look at these clowns, and they walk around like yahoos with this good old Asian American stuff like that. And then one day they woke up and realized they just took over a whole bunch of states.
Yeah.
Okay, they just put their own government. And you know why? Because they went out and voted. And then once they voted and got the people they wanted, they changed the rules to make sure that they would have. They changed districts. They changed the rules of districts. Stuff happens when you go out and do something. Like, people can't, like, don't vote and write in for Selena Gomez or Harambe. Like, if you're going to do that nonsense, like, I'm not going to tell anybody who to vote for. Vote for somebody that's alive. Like, if 11,000 people wrote in Harambe for president, they thought that would be funny. Like, vote. That's how you invoke change. You go out and you vote.
Harambe is that gorilla, right?
The gorilla
okay.
that died.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how that's a thing still, but so there's that. So 11,000 votes. That's in this election. That was a significant amount, depending, obviously, what state you're in. I know, like Batman always gets one. I wonder how many Jesus Christ got. That was always a popular one too.
He may get a lot. He might get a lot next. The next election, but that's how you change. Like, you look at the breakdown, and the biggest issue, and I don't know how this will change, is the amount of influence isn't equal and balanced. The majority of people live on the coast of the country, but it's too many rural and too many Midwest states that have far too much power that's affecting. Like, it's amazing how much impact that Florida and Ohio has. Like, why? Like, they want to balance stuff out where, you know, we have to give these mid-level states like South Dakota and North Dakota four electoral, like, people barely live there.
Yeah. Well, and that's been an argument since Bush beat Gore as well. You know, that's been going on a long time.
Yeah, normally people don't care because it's like the person that wins electoral college tends to win the president. They tend to win the popular vote, so it's not an issue. It's been an issue twice, and it's kind of like, you can't say, like, it's easy for people to say, oh, well, he won the will of the people, and that's why he deserved it. I'm like, well, more people voted for the other person, so how's that sound? Like, he won because he won enough states where there was a sizable population that rolled with him.
Yeah, okay.
And
I don't mean to cut you off. I think I think you misunderstood the question, though. And what I mean by effect change is, like, you and I, we get along great. You know, we have philosophical differences. We look different. We live our lives differently. And we still have the same interests, though. So then I'm going to put it in my worldview, my point of view. We go out to breweries, we go out to bars, and the places we hang out in, there are people of all colors and creeds. Sexuality, you can't tell by looking at somebody, supposedly. Most of the time, you can't. people with different religious backgrounds. We're all in the same place. We all start talking. No one gets in fights. You know, obviously, just you go with that. Everybody gets along. You talk to people. You still find philosophical differences. You do this. And then you go, cool. We're all cool. Nothing happens. And then you read about people, like, well, you told me someone getting on your sister because somebody has... feels empowered to, which I think they probably felt that way anyways, so having that little nudge didn't help. So I guess it's more of a hippie notion. How do we all finally just get over this stuff?
You know how, you know, when people start treating people like human beings, that's the crux of the issue. It's a large percentage of the population, and it's always been like that if you're not like them, you don't deserve the rights they deserve. Like, it's plain and simple. That's what it boils down to. And whenever I have discussions with somebody about this and they want to explain it's not the case and I'm making stuff up, I stop the conversation. I'm like, if you can't look at me like a human being and listen to what I say and you ever just reply and tell me why I'm wrong, why I'm wrong about what I experienced in my life, we're not going to go on anywhere. That's how things change. Like, when you hang around with people and they treat people like people, they don't think about it. Like, race doesn't come up. Like, once people get comfortable with people and they start treating people like people, race don't come up like, oh, I can't talk about this stuff. Like, you treat them like people. You make jokes. You make comments. You invite them over to your house. You treat them like a human being. That's what you do. Until you do that, then it's always, oh, well, I would, but they're not like me because they're whatever. They're not like me because they're a different race or a different religion, or they have a disability, or they have a different, you know, sexual orientation. So that gives me the right to, like, all I tell people is, and I'll end like this, and I always see this video, and like, when people think, like, you know, racism's not a thing and it's not an issue, I'm like, I just ask him, like, would you want to be treated like black people are treated in America? Or how Latins are treated, or how gay people are treated. Like, you know, since you feel like they're getting all these benefits and they're taking your jobs like that, would you want to get treated like them? Would you want it to have the same type of life they have? Like, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to say no. Then ask yourself, well, why not? And there you go. Once you can say yes because you feel like they got the same life as you and you can honestly feel that way, then you can go somewhere. And people can go somewhere and be people. Until that happens, nope, it's not going to be a thing. Like, even when people get more benefits, it's going to be people that lash out, say, if you're winning, that means I'm losing. Not, we can both win together, we're both losing together. It's this whole, I got an orange. If he got an orange, that means he's taking mine. Now he got his own. That's how it is.
I listened to everything you said. I was trying to figure out where to go from there.
I pulled up that model, and you're right. She is not ugly at all.
Okay, yeah. So, what's her name? I couldn't remember.
Anje Utgard.
Okay. From, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I got to. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
From Minnesota.
Wait, what?
She's like. No,
I looked at pictures. Like, I didn't look her up. So.
Yeah, she's Swedish and Norwegian.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah, but. No, man, it bums me out, and I know it sounds so simplistic, but to me, it's honestly not. It seriously bums me out. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's what I was trying to get across to you before. Like, I guess when you're, like you said, when you're not around other people, and especially we talked about before, upbringing, you know, you got somebody telling you, you know, this queer over here, you know, does he act effeminate, or... this bitch looks like a guy, or, you know, Jesus doesn't like that, which isn't true. But I've always come to this, and I know people, like, people are probably hating one of us listening to this, probably me more so, but I always get in this argument, not argument, I've gotten this conversation plenty of times, and the root cause of everything to me seemingly has been religion. And I know you're a religious person, so I'm not trying to offend you. The root cause of it has always been that, going back to the history of time.
Man, and I always say they just use that excuse because they just look. And I always say it like this because even
there's
when you
evidence,
didn't have
there's evidence of
no,
it.
So. But even when they, I mean, it's plenty of evidence where before those organized religions were a thing, people were still doing that. Like, people always say, oh, it's a religion. I'm like, it's usually it's about, I want what you have, or you're not like me. And you just use for, and that's justification. Like, most of the time, they use religion as justification. And, like, you know, when white people came to, like, South America and Africa and Asia, it's like, I want what you got. I'm just going to use a religion to justify the fact that I feel like I'm better than you and I can sleep at night. I can do more stuff if Jesus says it's okay. But even if Jesus was around,
I'm not even talking about just that.
I'm just saying, I'm saying it again, like,
before Christianity.
But I'm just saying, I'm just an example. It's still going to be, I want your stuff, or you're not like me. It's because that's how most things come to, you're not like me, or I want what you got. Whether it's religion, race, ethnicity, whatever. It's usually greed is what it comes down to. Because I can say, like, the majority of world wars that's occurred in the last 150 years has nothing to do with religion. It's about, I want stuff. I ain't got it. You got it. I want it. I'm taking it. Like, when Japan was slaughtering all the million Chinese, it wasn't because, you know, one group was Buddhist and one group was Shintoism. Like, we need space. We need stuff. You got this stuff. I'm taking it. You know, like, people talk about Middle East, about it's a, you know, Shiite and Sunni thing. It's like, no, you got more oil than me, and I don't like you, so I'm taking it. I want your stuff. It's usually about, I want you. It's Negan is one around. Like, it's the reason. I want your stuff. I'm taking your stuff. I can just use a reason. Like, people just use a justification so they can not look like monsters. Some people don't even care about looking like monsters. It just sounds easy, where if you dehumanize the people, or somebody's saying you have the right to look at them as not like you, then you can do whatever you want. So I know why people look at, like, religion as, like, that's the reason, everything like that. And there's been plenty of wars and conquests where religion has been in use. But I would say it's been plenty of wars and conquests when religion wasn't religion had nothing to do with it. Like, you could take religion out now and say everybody's saying, they'll find a reason. Because they're just going to look and say, well, he's darker than me. That means he's less, or he speaks a different language, or he's from a different place. I'm going to do it for country pride. I'm going to do it for tribe pride. Like, it'll always be something. As long as there's a difference in a person and use that difference to justify that you're better than that person, you're going to use that.
It's kind of sad, because it's been going on, since people started, depending on your belief, whether 6,000 years ago, or, you know, when we were riding dinosaurs and shooting pebbles at, you know, woolly mammoths, or since we crawled out of the ocean, or whatever we were supposed to be. And that's where it gets into a helpless feeling. And we've talked about this before, other shortly, to where it's like, well, been going on forever. And it's not that you don't want to try, but at the same time, you just go, why the fuck are we trying? Like, maybe we should just do tribal warfare. Whoever wins, wins. You know, I don't know, man. And it's getting to the point, especially now, and this is what the root cause of it is. The root cause now of more despair is this election result. to go back to it. To where it's seemingly bringing out even an even uglier side of people. A side that was there that might have been repressed. So maybe it's good that they're being as ugly as they are now, so we can look at them and go, nope, there they are.
Sometimes you have to take a step back and step forward, where people say, oh, this is the worst part in America. I'm like, no, this is bad, but you ask something like, if you Japanese, you've had it worse when they had internment camps. If you black, you definitely had worse. Like, yeah, there was a thing called the Civil War. There was a thing called slavery. There was a thing called the Civil Rights. Like, there has been worse times, where it's kind of like, you know, the sun will shine. It's still bad, but the sun will shine tomorrow. But at the same time, I love when people say, don't worry about it. I'm like, because people say, oh, there's been worse instances and the country survived. I'm like, the country may survive, but individuals didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people, you know, like, it's easy to say, oh, don't worry about it 4 years. Like, 4 years coming off and you lose both your grandparents because they lose their health care and they die, then people saying just get over it is going to sound empty as hell. And when people bring up, like, old other presidents that were ineffective, and they were worse and everything like that. I'm like, well, there was a thing called nuclear weapons that didn't exist. And they exist now. So you can't compare what people did back in the 1880s and the 1910s to now. And people can easily say, oh, they never let Donald Trump do that. Donald Trump's president. Forget what this whole, they never let, forget what that whole, it'll never happen. Like, cut that shit out. If you tell me he'll never become the Silver Surfer, yeah, I'll believe that. Beyond that, if it's something that's humanly possible, then go somewhere with this whole, oh, he'd never do that. How do you know? He's saying do whatever, and he got this far. And people kept saying, it's this whole rope-a-dope thing. Like, even me, who, like, I remember when he first ran, and everybody was cracking jokes, like, I can't believe he's running. It's going to be fun. He's just going to do it for publicity, for, you know, to soup up The Apprentice, and it's going to get stopped. And he just kept going, and just kept going. And all these Republicans kept brushing them off, not realizing, because it's a lot of people that were, and people were mad. They weren't just mad at black people, and like, they were mad at these so-called elitist white people who feel like they let them down. They were mad at all these Republicans who felt like they abandoned what it meant to be Republican. They just sitting there eating pretty. And he just rolled that wave. He didn't do anything fancy. He just went full racist. And it's kind of like, I'm ready for it. Let's go. He didn't go half-ass like Mitt Romney. He didn't stick his toe in like John McCain. And he didn't like tiptoe around like Hillary Clinton. Because all of them had labels like racism in there. But they didn't embrace it. Like, you would have never thought Mitt Romney would like, oh, well, the KKK vote for me. They can vote for whoever they want. I can't stop somebody from liking me. He would have never said some nonsense like that. John McCain would have never said that. Most of these Republicans would have said, because it's... You may not necessarily mind doing racist things, but you wouldn't want people to think that you're racist.
Yeah.
And actively say, like, it's cool. And Donald Trump is like, all right, that's on y'all. Like, he didn't have a problem with it. If you playing checkers and they playing chess and cheating, you ain't winning.
See, there's part of me, though, that is... Oh, hang on. Sorry. Okay. So there's part of me like, well, him saying that, you know, they can vote for me because, you know, they vote for whoever they want. I understand that. I actually understand that. And there's part of it that is refreshing. It's like, they vote for whoever they want. I don't know the instance you're talking about. And
I'm talking about the Ku Klux Klan.
They really came out and said they were voting for him, and he said that? I mean, yes. I'm being dead serious.
Why do you think they're out here now bragging and enjoying it and like, oh, we got the flyers out, we back? Like, why do you think David Duke talking this trash? Like, yes,
I thought he was a reformed Klansman.
No,
that was a joke. What's a reform? That was a joke.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I was like, holy shit, I can see the knife popping out of your hand now. So,
yeah, it's kind of like that was actively a thing, and I'm like, it's 2016. Why is the Ku Klux Klan still a thing? Like, this is old school shit. Like, and you have somebody that's president of the United States that doesn't have a problem being endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what does that? I mean, seriously, like, okay, they're not saying, you know, not. He didn't come out and say I disagree with their actions, or we're not on the same page and everything like that. It's like, you like, all right, like, it's fine, like, it's cool. They want to, that's cool with me.
Hearing you say that, all right, remember I was saying before when I was talking on Messenger, that's where my head just starts to shut down. Like, what? And it would be, honestly, it's one thing, he can say that and be like, yeah, well, they can vote for whoever they want, but they ain't my party, so good luck with that. And if you think that way, well, I'm not the guy for you. It's pretty simple to handle it that way.
Yeah.
So
just think about the fact that we have to dance and justify the fact that the president of the United States, our president, is fine with being endorsed and liked by the Ku Klux Klan. Like, the guys that have the hoods that used to lynch people, that burn crosses, the bad guys from Django Unchained, yeah, that Klan. For all the people who might have forgot, like, how bad the Klan is, when people dance about, oh, what racism really is, they racist. If you feel like you're not racist, Look at them. They racist. That's racism. Like, there's no, they embrace it. They brag about it. They will tell you. We here for white supremacy, and we don't like none of y'all. And they endorse and happy that the that Donald Trump is president, and Donald Trump is cool with being liked by them. If you voted for that person, that's the whole thing. It's this whole, you know, like the art, you know, I don't like the artist, but I like the art and stuff like that. And, like, that works when it's, like, an individual playing. Like, you can maybe justify that if you watch a Chris Benoit match, because it's kind of like, it's just, watching a Chris Benoit match isn't affecting anybody by you, and him just having a match is just him having a match. When you have that attitude with somebody that's affecting everybody, say, oh, well, he ain't hurting me with all that stuff, so I'm fine. It's kind of like, well, you don't care about them. He's hurting a whole lot of other people, and you help put him there. So you just as culpable, and you can dig your head in the sand all day long. The stuff's still happening. So don't try to be all Switzerland now and say, I didn't know it like that. That's not the reason I voted for him. Because it wasn't for policy. And it wasn't because you thought, because even the people who voted for him was like, well, I don't know if he can really do the job, but I'm sick of what's happening now and I want to change. And that's the people who voted for him. So, yeah.
So what did you think of Doctor Strange? All right. Well, I guess to wrap that up, to be honest, I mean, we'll talk about Doctor Strange for real in a second. The only thing, and this is like the only somewhat heartfelt thing, I, you know, trying to work on the feelings thing, but it's, and I say that as a general population, and even some of the stuff, like, you know, that even if you disagree with someone, it doesn't mean you gotta hate them. That's one thing. Just because someone doesn't look like you doesn't mean you gotta hate them. I know this is really earth-shattering stuff I'm saying, but that I think the only way to do it is doing stuff like we're doing. So I'm going to pat us on the back a little bit here. To where we come from, well, we both grew up in cities, in different environments, where we were around other people. So I guess, to me, and this is where I'm going to lose some people, we almost need to create an us versus them and just, you know, grow the side. I don't want to say progress because I don't like those buzzwords. I'm a progressive. Whatever. But just, it's almost like an open your mind thing. And I don't know. I'm trying to work on the feelings thing. It's not working very well, obviously.
I get where you're coming from. And I keep hearing this whole thing. Oh, you know what happened. We got to move forward and embrace it. Yeah, and I'm like,
hasn't even been 24 hours.
Yeah. Here's my thing, because I've seen plenty of those tweets and everything like that. Like, you know, pray, and I know you feel bad that your person lost, but get over. Like, it's not just it's different this time. People don't get to, like, you're basically, because it comes to the whole thing is, you voted for this person that actively hates people like me. How am I supposed to get over that? How am I say, oh, I know you did that, but we cool? Like, no. Like, if you hired a hitman to shoot my son, I'm not gonna say, well, it's okay because you need to fill out points on your hitman card. Like, what kind of nonsense you talking? Why am I supposed to just say, oh, you know, I'm gonna shake your hand, can I respect your opinion? Like, no, your actions show that you don't respect me as a human being. So why I gotta take the high road? It's this whole thing is, take the high road, and if you love them enough, maybe they'll get tired of hating you. That whole Martin Luther King, that fake Martin Luther King nonsense. And it's a group of people saying, I'm tired of it. And I'm gonna say personally, no, I'm gonna be petty. I don't want to be kumbaya. Like, don't come to me
saying,
with this.
No, I'm not saying. No, I'm saying, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying, don't come to me with this whole moving for a uni stuff. If you don't want to treat me like a human being, like, no, give me justice and then we can talk. Treat me, that's all I want. Treat me like a person. I can work out anything else. It's like, that's the only thing I want from you. Treat me like a human damn being and we can go from there. Do that and then let's talk. Otherwise, I don't want to hear all this stuff about what path we need to take as a nation and how we going to do this and how, like, nah, I don't want to hear all that.
Doesn't it kind of build cynicism, though? when, you know, Trump's thing, he's talking about, you know, we need to unify, I'm going to work with you now. And then you get Clinton saying the exact same thing, and then you got President Obama. And for me, that kind of builds a cynicism of the the distrust of government. Like,
I mean, they got to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm getting at. It's like, you motherfuckers. Yeah, but
I mean, because you know they don't want to say it.
Yeah.
But Obama can't be out like, you know what? Fuck them. Do what you want. I know he wants to, but he still has responsibilities at his job. And it's kind of like, you know, unfortunately, they still have to play by the rules. And that's why they're hamstrung. Because he'll be one of the guys that doesn't have to.
Well, see, okay, and but do they really need to play by the rules anymore? Especially Clinton's career is done. She can't run again. So her political career seemingly is over.
Yeah, but she still has a private career, and she don't want to be known as, like, it's bad enough where she's the woman that not only lost, you know, twice, she lost to Donald Trump. Like, that's going to be a big-ass thing, and it's going to be people that's not going to let her go. But she can't be the old, bitter, angry woman. That, like, it's enough stuff that she has to deal with where she has to be magnanimous if she wants to have a private sector.
See, I don't think he has to, though.
Oh, Obama's just too classy to just, like, do that. But
or is he
he's
just
going
to do the interview, like, a year or two after his presidency's over?
He's just going to wait and plot and, like, because the whole thing is, you know why he can be magnanimous? Because he can get to sit back and, like, you know what? Y'all blame me for all this stuff. Y'all didn't realize how good you had it when I was here. And he just going to watch. Like, people, like, Clinton looked a lot better after George Bush mucked around for 8 years.
Yeah.
You can imagine how Barack Obama's gonna look after 4 years of Trump. It's like, oh, y'all miss me now. I'm like, he just gonna sit back, relax, probably show up, go to Monday Night Raw one night, shoot basketball, golf with Joe Biden, and just chill, watch the country just plummet. Like, it ain't my fault. Y'all didn't let me do the stuff I needed to do. Y'all voted for this clown. Don't look at me. And that's so it pays for him to be magnanimous and, like, you know, civil, because he's just going to look like a million bucks. Like, absence makes the heart go fonder. So no need to dig in the dirt. He just be above it.
So we're not going to get him have an executive order to, like, make weed legal in the U.S., you don't think? Because I started thinking about this today. With so many states passing marijuana laws to make it legal in their states, I think that's how executive orders work. Can't he just make it legal nationwide?
It's too many people that will vote no.
Well, no, an executive order, he should.
And
he should have done it for a fucking day.
You had to eat.
I know. It's exaggeration.
You gotta ease yourself into it. The whole thing is, it's a lot of stuff he probably wanted to do, but people didn't let him. And although that would be funny, his last act is to make it nationwide.
Yeah.
And just, big, you know, screw, just to piss all them red states off.
Yep.
Just out the door. Like, and the whole thing is, he could do that, and the majority of America be on his side, because everybody, like I've said, weed might be this whole thing people frown their face on, but people smoke weed in red and blue states. And it's not the average American's not gonna buy it, like, oh, I ain't smoking that. Yeah. They smoking now, so they're gonna be like, thanks.
Because even states that voted Trump in, I think it was Nevada. There were two red states that passed marijuana laws making it legal. Mm-hmm. All right. This is fantasy land. This is fantasy booking. If Trump could pull that off, which it won't happen, but if he could pull that off, it almost seems like a battle well worth fought. But so, what'd you think of Doctor Strange? Since we're talking about drugs, what'd you think of Doctor Strange?
I really enjoyed Doctor Strange, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. I was amazed by how well done the movie was and how they took something that was extremely complicated and made it easily digestible without talking down to the audience. Like, it was just a well done movie. It's two things that stood out to me. One was the fact that there were the biggest American, like, there was no Americans in this movie besides Benjamin Bratt, like his stars.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like everybody else was, you know, British or Canadian, or they were all foreign, like everybody. And it's funny, whereas this whole thing is like, you know what? We have this complicated topic and everything. We're just gonna get people who know how to act and can say this goofy stuff and keep a straight face. And that worked. Like, they got actors. Like, and even small roles, like, we're gonna get people who know what they're doing and let them do the thing. Like, and it was a beautiful movie. Like, I wish I saw it in 3D, because just in 2D it was gorgeous. And it used this, and that's the first Marvel movie where I paid attention to how they used the sound stage, where the surround sound, they like almost to the point where I thought they were gonna blow off the side speakers at my theater. Like, almost they couldn't handle it. Like, it was just a beautiful movie experience. And two, can we dead this whole Doctor Strange? I know we joked about how we were marketed, but after seeing the movie, can we dead this whole thing? Oh, it's just Iron Man with magic. Like, no. That's, and I still read people who reviewed the movie and said that, I'm like, did you really watch the movie, or you just want to just, you know, because we always made the joke, like, sometimes we feel like people didn't really watch the movie or watch like half of it.
Yeah, I think it was a Facebook post you put about it being like similar to Iron Man in a way. It was something like that. Maybe it was yours. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I made a joke saying it's like Iron Man with magic. That's before I saw it, and that was how people were describing it. But seeing the movie, it was like, the only thing they have in common were they were rich and American and like very good at their jobs. Yeah. But if you look at the character arc from like Iron Man, like, maybe Iron Man throughout the Marvel Universe has changed to a certain extent, but the character arc from the beginning of Iron Man to end of Iron Man is what he went from an asshole that was nice with charisma that made weapons to a asshole that was nice with charisma that made a suit and wanted to control his weapons.
Yes.
That's it. And it's nothing else really changed in that movie. It's kind of like, okay, he used to make weapons and now he makes weapons to defend the weapons he made. Doctor Strange was far more unlikable character in the movie. Like, he was a prick. Like, to the point where when he got in an argument with Rachel McAdams after he had the accident, like, and he said something like, oh, what do you think I care about you? It's like that. The whole theater just gasped, like, damn, why are you so mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was just not even a likable asshole, just like fuck this guy. And he goes from that to change, like, and you see him at the end of the movie, like, he embraced his role. He's alone by himself. It's like he's doing this job that almost no one knows he's doing, and it's like, yeah, he's doing his job. I wouldn't necessarily call like a happy ending, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he basically gave up self. I mean, that was obviously that was the whole thing with the battle. One thing you touched on was the beautiful. I mean, Doctor Strange, his best run was during the 70s when Steranko was drawing him, and it was basically an acid trip. Reading those, if you can ever find them, the artwork is amazing on that stuff. So when they showed like the preview, when they had him like running on buildings, I was like, oh, that's cute. But when they had that big, they didn't really have fights in this. Well, all right.
No, they didn't have, and I mean, I don't know if you know this, first Marvel movie, they had guns.
Yes. Well, what cracked me up though was they have all these mystic arts and all this stuff, and they still basically just punched each other in different dimensions, which kind of cracked me up. But then they had plenty of the other stuff. But that scene where they're chasing through New York, and buildings are bending, roads, they're flipping, contorting to different ways. The roads still have cars driving on it, and you know, you got cars going, you know, perpendicular to this, and all of a sudden, boom, they pop up on a road and pop down the other way. They're running through this. I got so confused what was going on, but in the best way. Like, wow, they're able to navigate. Like, you had, and removing myself from the viewing experience, they had animators that were responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, boy, the credits, good grief. But
it
was great.
Yeah. Not only that, you could keep up with what was going on. Like, I never watched the movie, and it was like the action was all this esoteric, abstract stuff, but I was never lost. Like I kept, because they kept with a small style. It was like basically a 2-on-2 fight or a 1-on-1 or 2-on-3 fight. Like they kept the scope small so you can focus, and it had weight where it's like, okay, you got these two guys fighting this 1, 2, or 3 guys. You see what's going on. It's clear. You can keep up. And it's just kind of like, it's just amazing where, and they made a good impact where one, they avoided the whole, you know, damaging billion cities and knocking down stuff. Like they had a good conceit. It's in a mirror dimension, so it doesn't count for the most part. It's almost like it's a ghost doing stuff, and they played that up well. And then at the end where they have, you get to Hong Kong and you see the destruction, and then they just reverse it, but they have a way where you have to deal with the consequences of changing time. And I'll have to say about the ending, me and the theater were just laughing our ass off. I'm like, this is such an ingenious ending to how they handled this. Because you think, okay, you see this big demon like you've never seen in like Marvel movies before, and you're wondering, they basically explain he can't be killed, he can't be stopped, how you gonna beat him? And he used logic. And it was just so simple. And they built up the whole thing earlier, like, you know, don't use this type of magic because you might get caught in a time loop. You don't know what you're doing. And he actually used that. And it, like, the first 2-3, I'm like, what's happening? And then it clicked. And it clicked, like, the same time around everybody. And everybody started laughing and smiling, like, okay, I know what he's doing. I know why he's doing. And explains, like, his full transformation. Like, I can't win, but I can make sure you don't win either, more or less. I don't mind losing as long as you don't win, even though no one will know.
Yeah.
Like, if that ain't a sacrifice, I don't know what's a sacrifice.
Okay. I understood the part. I actually enjoyed that there was an actual brains sequence, if you want to put it that way. Someone had to use their wit instead of brawn, whatever. I enjoyed the fact that they totally skipped the battle with Wong and I had a hard time with the names in this one.
Cassilius.
Yeah. They totally skipped over that. I thought that was a good way first to save budget, because boy did they blow it with the reverse of the destruction. But it was still, again, like a big cloud monster or like a big over arc, you know? So, I'm hoping the next go around, you know, it changes up a little. I would figure there's going to be a sequel to this.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a sequel. Considering how much money they made, like even where it's kind of like, you know, they knew they're going to do well, but everybody's had like, well, if we make like 60 to 70, we'll be fine, and end up making 85, like. And you got to think about a character that's even more esoteric than like Thor and the Hulk. That came out in November, made all that money, had like a 90, 91 and Rotten Tomatoes. It was like, it was just, they nailed it. And it's some other things I want to talk about, because it was like three things that stood out with this movie. One, this is like one of the first movies where you could see the point of view of like multiple characters. Like, depending on your point of view, somebody else could be the good guy, bad guy. Like,
yes.
You know, Mads Mikkelsen, he didn't get enough time, but the time he got, he made the most of it. And you can see exactly where he's coming from. Like, you could say he misguided, but he's not necessarily like the bad guy in this. And especially when you find out what happens later. It's like, you know, they bring in all these damaged people here. I got lied to. All I'm trying to do is just, you know, have people live forever. Because time robs everything. And he's having his speech, and I don't know if you noticed it, when he's like locked up in that box or whatever, and he's talking to Doctor Strange, and he's talking, explaining why he's doing what he's doing, and like a single tear just drops. And I remember just catching it. Like, it was like out of nowhere, like how emotional he was, and like he just did it. And it's just kind of like, you know, he's not just some bad man that's just doing stuff to do stuff. Like, he has a reason for doing it. And especially when you feel like he got lied to by somebody he trusts. And then you find out, like, with Tilda Swinton's thing, like, she's talking all this nonsense about you got to do the right thing and you got to do this and that. And they make a thing like, you know, knowledge isn't forbidden. It's just certain applications of it is. And they make this big point. And come to find out, she's cheating. Like, she's basically using this energy that's, she's telling everybody else it's bad so she can live, and it's kind of like a means to an end. And Doctor Strange whole thing is kind of like, you know, doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. But then you got Mordo is like, nah, like, no, it's a reason you don't do this stuff. And it's kind of like, how you going to teach me when you basically a liar?
Yeah.
And it's easy to look at him saying, oh, he's too strict. He's too, like, everything black and white. And it's like, you dealing with Matt. They made the whole point of kind of like, and I asked you, like, depending on how the movie you look at, is Doctor Strange really a good guy? Because it's this guy that's just all, you know, rash and arrogant. Like, oh, I got an Infinity Stone. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to use this to use it. Oh, I didn't study this. I'm just going to use this magic and just read this book and just do whatever. Yeah, I'm just going to change time and just fly and just do what I want because I feel like it's the right thing. And you got all these other people that have been studying for all this time. Like, you know, you kind of messing with stuff you shouldn't be messing with, and it can lead you down paths that could be disastrous. And they basically explained to him like that. Immortal was like, nah, I'm out. You know, you just want to do what you want to do, and you don't care about the consequences regardless of the right thing. And it's almost like Civil War, where you're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, and it can still bite you in the face. But this one's on a kind of like, on a cosmic scale. So it's kind of like, they might be setting them up, not necessarily as the villains. Like, I can see exactly where it's coming from. Like, you've been taught to do these things and follow these rules to basically save the universe. And then you find out your teacher was lying and she using evil energy, and you got this dickhead coming in just doing whatever the hell he wants and not thinking about it because he feel like, well, I know it's the right thing to do because I'm smart. Yeah, I'm like, nah, I'm out. You go ahead and do that.
When you posed that question about who's the hero, who's the villain, I thought that was actually an interesting point they made at the end. Just like you just said, especially at the end when he's after the credits for, not a spoilers thing, but when he goes and confronts poor Benjamin Bratt and his, you know, Marvel money, and takes away the magic from him, you kind of go, well, it's pretty rude to do. Rude being an understatement, but at the same time, I kind of get it. And then you see, well, what Doctor Strange did, saving all those people, you know, property, whatever, I see why he did it. So it puts you in an interesting conundrum, to be honest. Like, well, there are rules for a reason, but if you break the rules and positive things come out of it, even though you're really not supposed to, like, what becomes a natural order now if you can just change things to your liking? If something bad happens, now you can go back and change it. It's like, well, that's playing God, really. Like,
yeah, and that's the and it's funny how this is the movie that follow up Civil War, because that was a big crux about Civil War, is kind of like, you know, actions and consequences, and it was basically like that was a big conflict, and like, you know, when is the right thing not the right thing? It's almost like you gotta trust this guy to do whatever he wants because you feel like you trust him. But what if he's wrong? Mm-hmm. And that's on like us. And it's funny where all the stuff that happened in that movie, that's a way smaller scale than the stuff Doctor Strange going on. Because like, if he makes the wrong choice, or he has the wrong judgment, it's like lights out. And then like, he's fighting like a robot, or he's fighting like a guy, like he's fighting, like I know you said, like a space cloud. He's fighting a guy that controls a damn different dimension. Like, yeah. You ain't gonna punch a space cloud in the face. Like, that's not how that works. Like, you have to be real careful. And he's, you know, he understands the responsibility of his job, but he ain't necessarily careful. The other thing that stood out, of the second thing, this is the first Marvel movie where somebody made a big deal about killing somebody.
Yes! Oh, sorry, I mean to yell. Perfect point. No, that was perfect. And you know what? It's funny having this conversation. I'm actually enjoying, like, I like the movie. I'm actually enjoying it more now that we're getting into this sort of stuff. Boy, was he opposed to taking anyone's life. And Mordo even just talked about, well, you don't know the things that we've had to do. So it puts you in that crisis of, well, to maintain the way order is, to maintain balance, I have to remove something from the plane of existence, you know, to put it in a metaphysical sort of thing, or to put it in plain terms, I got to kill some people. And that's why I thought why the hell is he insisting on people calling him Doctor Strange? Well, doctors, you know, by the oath, are supposed to preserve life and not take it. So, yeah, it was way headier than I expected, and I'm so happy you brought that up.
Yeah, and he made a big deal about that, saying, mm-hmm. you know, like, I've been my whole training throughout my whole life to protect life and save life. Even though it was funny how in the beginning it was kind of like, when he was first doing stuff, it was kind of like, I want to do it for thrill and money. Like, forget this ER stuff. Any hat can do it. If it ain't special, forget it. And it's funny, right before he had the car accident, they drop a name. The first one's like, is this guy in this experimental armor? And it's like, okay.
That was Roddy, right? More.
Yeah. And then the second one is kind of like, is this lady that got electrocuted? And a lot of people thought maybe that's talking about Captain Marvel. But they don't make it explicit, but it's kind of like that's a name that popped up, because it's like, they said the origin story is going to be different than how it was in comics, which, of course, makes sense. But and they kind of like hinted, like, well, if you saw that, I ain't gonna tell you it's wrong, but I ain't gonna tell it out for you. And it's kind of like the beginning is like, he just wants to do stuff for personal pride and like exposure and thrill. But at the end of the day, he's still a doctor and he still wants to save lives and stuff like that. So him even killing someone out of self defense is like, saying what I'm about. I know this is the whole Batman Begins thing. Like, you know, I know why you want to do this, but there's a way to do it without taking life. Like, I ain't crossing that line. And for a doctor that was your whole, like, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a pharmacist, and you do the Hippocratic Oath, it's like, do no wrong. Like, that's your sole job, is to make sure you don't bring active harm to a patient. And you bring that in life, it's like, you just don't be walking around just knocking people off and, like, think that's cool. Like, everybody else, you know, Iron Man was into, like, defense weapons and stuff. These other guys, like soldiers and spies and assassins. So it was like, and Thor's Thor. So it was like, yeah, it's a Tuesday. You do what you got to do. This guy, he's not about that life. So it's going to mean more.
Since you mentioned Thor, obviously he's in the mid-credit scene. And mm-hmm. It almost seems like it was a lead up to him being in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty nuts.
Did you notice how... like how you could tell the director has a particular sense of humor, because that whole thing was hilarious, but he beat you over the head with it. It's just little stuff like, I don't drink tea. He got this big ass super mug of beer. He finishes it, and as soon as you turn around, it's full again. Like little stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, not to get on you, but that's not a super mug, dude. That's just a that's really, a tanker. So
that's not a super mug. How big is Thor's arm? What's that like? How big is that thing? 128 ounces.
Nah, that was only. I'd say that was probably 64.
That was bigger than 64, because Chris Hemsworth is a big dude, and that was a big jar in his hand. Like, yeah.
It was funny. I thought he looked small in that, actually. Like almost like it was in between movies, so he like let himself go for a little bit.
Yeah, like he was more toner than normal, but Chris Hemsworth is not a small man, so you got to take an account like that to scale. So, but then the whole thing like explaining, like, you know, we're here, I got Loki here for a reason, we're here to find Odin. So it's getting to a point where he knows the jig is up with the whole Loki switches bodies with Odin, and where you go from there, like, you wonder how far in the Ragnarok that is. Is that the beginning? Is that the middle? And how, like, and then I never even thought about Doctor Strange being in that, but, you know, they doing weird shit, he does weird shit, so it fits. And it's like a link to this. I like that it was a stand, like, you didn't really have to see any of the Marvel movies to enjoy this one. And the only link it really had to was, like, you had an Infinity Stone, which they threw in at the end before.
Which,
like,
yes, I enjoyed that quite a bit, actually. Because is that all of them now?
It's one more.
Which one's?
It's a total of six, and they've shown five.
Okay. See, I couldn't remember. So we had the blue, green.
You had the one Vision has. You had the one Doctor Strange has. You have the Tesseract. You have the Aether. And then you had the Power Stone from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot Guardians of the Galaxy. All right.
Yeah, so you got five, and it's one more. So.
Wow.
I guess
that'll probably be in Thor.
Either Thor or beginning of Infinity War. So one or the other. And then the third thing that stood out, for both good and bad reasons, was Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I know people got all not up in arms, but, you know, there was the criticism of it. I wasn't feeling it. I thought she was kind of out of place. And I know they very quickly said, well, she doesn't really explain how she came to be, other than she's Celtic, and that's it. And they may say, you know, they made the joke about how she's the chosen one. Or, no, I'm sorry, the ancient one. I got my Golden Child reference in. about how she's the, you know, ancient one, and that was supposed to be the laugh part of it. But there was part of me also that when he was talking to the guy sitting down, he's like, obviously goes to him because he's the ancient one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't know if I like this, but as she went on, like I didn't know if I minded her as the ancient one. But then as it went on, I was kind of like, I'm not getting like a mystical vibe from her. If that makes sense.
You feel like she was a weirdo, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same vibe. Like, it was a two-part thing. Like, she's a talented actress, but it was like, one, she wasn't so good where it's like, she's the only person to do that role. Like, you could have got an Asian actress to play that role. And two, it's like, she just came, I don't know if it was like her mouth was always open and she had that goofy-ass smile. I don't know if it was a symbol in the back of her head or what it was.
That
like,
symbol came off, be nuts.
Yeah, like, she came off as powerful, but it was, like, too much, like, it just off. Like, she never closed her mouth. So all you see is her, like, if you notice that, she always got that, like, shark smile on her face. Like, you see her teeth and her mouth's half open and the bald head, and it's like, I know what you're trying to do, but you could have, it's like taking me out the movie. It's like, she just came off as like off. And it was like, it wasn't her fault. She played the role the way they told her to play the role. She's an excellent actress. She's been in a lot of good things, but it's like, you could have found somebody else to play that role. Yeah. Like it was distracting.
Yeah. I wonder because, and I, maybe it'll depend on your upbringing watching movies, but whenever it comes to like, you know, Far East, when it comes to like the mystical stuff, it's always been some sort of Asian actor. That's just how it's always been. So to have someone, you know, Irish, Celtic, whatever, in that role, I'm like, well, the lines delivered fine. Like you said, she's a good actress, but what's
they wanted to have the kick in 82 is what it was. They wanted to say, they want to avoid the whole Asian stereotypes and trope by having a mystic person.
Yeah. Well,
but the way they handle it, yeah, but I'm sorry. I'm like, but the way they handle it is like, okay, so you don't want to have this mystic Asian thing and you don't want to have them from Tibet because you don't want to piss off China. So you just make it a white woman. And it's like, you fixed the whole Asian trope with Wong. Like, you changed that role and made it work fine. Why can't you do it with the other one? It's like you made it worse. Like, You try to have it both ways, and end up making it worse. That's how it came off.
Yeah, the example I was going to use was put Tilda Swinton in Gremlins, and she's Gizmo's keeper. You'd be like, "What the hell is this?" If you remember Gremlins,
obviously. Yeah, I remember Gremlins. Yeah, yeah.
Put her in that role, and it'd be like, "This is absurd. This doesn't make any sense." That's kind of where I mean, even Big Trouble in Little China, which is actually a goof on, you know, American action heroes.
I was thinking that when you brought that up, like, imagine her as being, like, Lopan or something. It's like, what the, like,
yeah.
It's like, unless you're playing satire, like Robert Rodriguez, when he has white people pretend to be Mexican and speaking broken Spanish, and he does that on purpose. He's done that before. It's like, what you doing? Like, and they even realized it. And at least the director came out and, like, you know, yeah, we messed up. I didn't know it was a thing, and now I know, and I'm sorry. Like, normally people just ignore it. Like, he actually came out and apologized because he was like, I didn't realize it was such a big deal, and now I know, and I'll try to make sure I fix it. It's kind of like some people knew, and they tried to play it, have it both ways, because it's just funny where they want to say, oh, it's funny about when people get picky about changing roles. It's like they changed Mortal's role, and they made a white character black. And they turned him from like a villain to like a neutral anti-hero. And nobody complained because, one, they made the role better. Two, Chiwetel Ejiofor is a great actor. And he was fine. And three, it wasn't the main character of the movie. Like, you could change the race of villains easier than heroes.
Yeah.
Like, the whole Michael Clark Duncan rule. Like, you can do that no problem. And they changed Wong's character, so he wasn't a manservant anymore. He was, like, a teacher, and he knew the stuff, and it's like, he ain't here for Doctor Strange's shit.
How'd you like him listening to Beyonce?
I like that was it. Was funny. Just, it was just funny because it's out of nowhere when he's just dropping names like Beyonce, like, you never heard of Adele, you haven't heard of these people, and he's just looking at him like, no. And then next scene, he's listening to Beyonce like he knows he just ain't doing Doctor Strange nonsense.
Okay, that was one thing that was kind of funny was they had technology, you know, the Wi-Fi, we're not savages, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then this always cracks me up in these sort of movies. So you've got this ancient library with all these deadly secrets, or, you know, spells, whatever you want to call them, and their security measure is one librarian and then shelving, like, intricate shelving units to where books are just up there with a chain. Like, would you want to put some spells on that? I know they kind of explained it by no knowledge is forbidden.
Just techniques.
Yeah, but I'm like, well,
I mean, you just thinking
lock this,
like,
shit down.
I mean, how many times you think it'd been a? I doubt it was like an issue you were about.
Yeah.
It probably hasn't been a whole bunch of Casiliuses running around trying to take stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's just the whole thing, and it's kind of like it was just weird. Where there's another instance where real stuff exists in the Marvel Universe because Beyonce's a thing. You playing to be, and I remember we first talked about that in Luke Cage. Yeah. It's kind of like. You knew it was like in America, but you didn't realize it was like our America, because even they had a fake president and stuff like that. But it was like, this was like, okay, Adele is a thing, Beyonce is a thing. Like, they actually, so it's like our America more, or our world more or less. And like I said, I think the movie was very well done.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was an enjoyable movie. And for what they had to do, and considering the subject matter, especially. I know when I saw the scene when it's like going through the different dimension stuff, I was like,
"Oh yeah,
how much weed did they have to smoke to come up?" I watched this and I'm like, I wish I had seen this in 3D IMAX, because this probably would have looked like I was on a mushroom trip. Like, it was just, you would, and it's kind of like, this ain't what Marvel normally does. Like, this is like, okay, we going out there now. Like, this is not the whole we explain stuff with science or we explain stuff with alien technology. Like, yeah, we doing magic, we jumping way into magic. Ain't somebody just having like a magic wand and making shields and like invisible knives and like air swords? It's like, yeah, people floating, people going through different dimensions and the zillion hands and like everything that's going on. Like, yeah, this is different. And they embraced it. They did what they did what DC seems to be afraid to do, and like other like Fox and stuff they do. They realize how goofy and comic book it is. They treat it with respect, but they embrace it. And that's what you got to do.
And that's a good way to go.
Yeah.
So, at least we ended the show on something positive, because I enjoyed it. Yeah, let's go. Let's get out of here on that one before we say something else. And then we're here for another half hour, and it could turn dark. So at least next week we can get into some other stuff. I got some thoughts on Supergirl. I'll save for next week to see if they can change up their death spiral. And then
it's definitely going to be a difference of opinion.
Not a death spiral. Like, I just said that because I couldn't think of anything else.
Tune in next week, folks, to find out how one person enjoys Supergirl a lot more than the other person
does. So thanks for listening, guys, if you listen to this. So follow us on social media if you want to. Subscribe if you're still listening. Look for Stunt Granny on all your podcast platforms, iTunes, all that good stuff, Stitcher, whatever. I'm just going to go because I'm out of water for the last half hour, so I'm parched. And she takes
out. I haven't drunk anything yet. So for Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. And next time, don't write in for Harambee when you're voting. We are out.